कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे राम 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 हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे राम 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे राम राम कृष्ण 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 हरे राम राम कृष्ण 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 हरे राम राम कृष्ण 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 राम राम कृष्ण 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 राम राम कृष्ण कृष्ण राम राम हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 राम राम हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 राम राम हरे हरे
श्रीमती भक्ति वेदांता Ramara. Thank you.
പരിപ്രതികാചാര്യ അശ്രോത്രശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം. നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ണോ വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രജകാചാര്യ അശ്രോത്രശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യശീല ഹരിദാസ ചാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ടരാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരിഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാം കി മായപ്പൂർ ധാം കി മധുരപുരി ധാം കി ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാം കി ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാം കി ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദി. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ബോഡീസ്. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ബോഡീസ്. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ബോഡീസ്. ഓൾ glories, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namam Shubhadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhudale Shimri Bhaktivedanda Swami Dinamini Namaste Sarasudeva Prajayarini Nirvishesh Unyavadi Pashyati Deshadarini. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ. ഓം അജ്ഞാനതിമിരാന്ധസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനശലാകയാ ചക്ഷുരുന്മിലിതാം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമ. ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടം സ്ഥാപിതാം യേന ഭൂതലെ സ്വയം രൂപകദാ മഹ്യം ദദാതിം സ്വപദാന്തികം. വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണരഘുനാഥാന്വിതം തം സജീവം സാദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദാം സഹഗണലളിതാം ശ്രീവിശാഖാന്വിതാംശ്ച. ഹേ കൃഷ്ണകരുണാസിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ. തപ്ത കാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗി രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസ്തുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ. വാഞ്ചകൽപതരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധുഭ്യേവ ച പതിതാനം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ. ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദം. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം. അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീം ഭഗവതീം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അംബത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീം. നമോസ്തുതേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായത പത്മനേത്രം യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപം. പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകപാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ గీతామృతదుహే నమః సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దుగ్ధా గోపాల నందన పార్థో వల్స సుధీర్ భోక్త దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహల్ వసుదేవ సుతం దేవం కంసచానురమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం భీష్మద్రోణతట జయధ్రత జల గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవతీ కృపేణ వహని కర్ణేన వేలాకులాం అశ్వత్థామా వికర్ణ ఘోరమకరా దుర్యోధన వర్తిని సోతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణ నదీ కైవర్తక కేశవాహం పారాశర్యవజసరోజమమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కట నానాఖ్యానగకేసరం హరికథ సంబోధనాబోధితం సజ్జనషల్పదైరహర పేబీయమానం ముదా భూయా నారదభూంగజం కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే మూకం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం యబ్రహ్మ వరుణేంద్రరుద్రమరుదస్త్వన్వంది దివ్యైస్తవై వేదై సంగపదై క్రమోపనిషదై గాయందియం సమగాహ ధ్యానావస్థితదద్గదేన మనసా పశ్యందియం యోగినో యస్యాందం న విదుసురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః ఓం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః శ్రీమతి రాధికాయ నమః సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద సో లాస్ట్ సాటర్డే వి వర్ టాకింగ్ అబౌట్ ది ఫోర్త్ చాప్టర్ ఆఫ్ భగవద్గీత where Krishna has been talked to Arjuna about the necessity, about the purification of karma. That is what we were discussing. And in that process, Krishna mentioned to Arjuna at the end, that is on verse 23. If you see the fourth chapter, verse 23, Krishna says to Arjuna, Gada sangasya muktasya jnana avasthita chedasaha యజ్ఞాయాచరద కర్మం సమగ్రం ప్రవిలీయతే దట్ వెన్ కర్మం ఈజ్ ఎగ్జిక్యూటెడ్ గత సంగస్య ముక్తస్య జ్ఞాన అవస్థిత చేతసాహ దట్ వన్ హూ హ్యాస్ ప్రొసీడింగ్ టువర్డ్స్ లిబరేషన్ ఆర్ ఫ్రీడమ్ ఫ్రమ్ దిస్ మెటీరియల్ వరల్డ్ జ్ఞానావస్థిత చేతసాహ వన్ హూ ఈజ్ సిట్యువేటెడ్ ఇన్ పర్ఫెక్ట్ నాలెడ్జ్ కృష్ణ సేస్ యజ్ఞాయాచరద కర్మం All his activities are yajnam. In other words, he understands that this karma which is binding him has to be actually come out of it. One has to learn to come out of it. Yajna yacharada karmam samagram praviliyadeyam. That because he will not execute any karma which will be in relationship with, which will be purely for his own selfish interest. In other words, egoism and selfishness goes away from a person when he is ready to go back home back to Krishna. So this is what Krishna has indicated. Gada sangasya muktasya jnana avasthita chedasaha yajnaya charada karmam samagram praviliyade. Everything gets absorbed in that process. That holy karmam gets annihilated or dissipated in that process, that he becomes free from all karmic reactions because all his activities are meant to please Krishna. So after this verse, when Krishna, what Krishna has spoken, that everything that is be performed is only for the benefit of the rest of the world, for pleasing Krishna. In other words, so at that point, then from now on, Krishna says to Arjuna in the next 5 or 6 verses, how people approach Krishna in different ways. How do they try to achieve Krishna, attain Krishna in different processes? So here, the word used is Brahman. Brahman means the spiritual nature of Krishna. That is all it is. Brahma means the spiritual nature of Krishna. So when somebody is trying to approach Krishna in this world, you will find there are different kinds of transcendentalists. The yogis, the jnanis, the karmis, the bhaktas, And all types of people in this world, they are all trying to achieve perfection in spiritual life. So they take to different processes. So therefore, but ultimate goal is Krishna. Krishna or Krishna's spiritual nature, which is Brahman. So in this way, they try to achieve that. And for that is what is discussed in the next few verses. Brahma arpanam brahmahavir brahmadno brahmana ahudam brahma ivatena gandhavyam brahma karma samadhinaham. Krishna says there, brahma arpanam brahmahavir. Like once everything, life becomes a yajnam or a sacrifice. What does that mean? Then everything what you offer is Brahman. It is spiritual in nature. Brahma havir, the havis is also Brahma. Havis is that what you offer into the fire, into the fire, as the for consumption by the fire. So that is the havis. So Brahma arpanam, Brahma havir, and then the fire that's burning, Brahma agno, Brahmana ahudam. That fire is also Brahman. Everything is seen from a spiritual way. So, Brahma iva tena gandharuvyam, Brahma karma samadhinaham. So, a personality who has understood this transcendental nature of karma, how to execute karma properly, he from then on, he engages all his activities to please Krishna. That is how it happens. And when everything is offered to Krishna, it becomes spiritual. Otherwise, it's not spiritual. So, although it's mentioned as Brahman, actually, Krishna consciousness is what it indirected to. That simply trying to satisfy Krishna in every possible way, in one's own life, that is this verse. Brahma arpanam brahma havir, brahma agno brahmana ahudam, brahma iva tena gandhavyam, brahma karma samadhinaham. That the whole thing becomes so spiritual, what else is left in life? When one engages, Srila Prabhupada explains that when one engages in all his senses, mind, body, everything what he has in Krishna's service, then everything is spiritual. That's no more material. That is where that difference comes. So that process of Krishna consciousness is what is hinted in these two verses. Devameva pariyatyam yogina pariyupasade brahmaatmeva pariyatyam yatyenevopajuhvari. That all the great yogis, all those transcendentalists who have come to this realization, devameva pareyatyam yoginam pariyupasadem, that they make their life in such a way as though it is a sacrifice to please Krishna. Or devameva pareyatyam yoginam pariyupasade brahmagna pareyatyam yatyenevopajuhvadim. That but sometimes men may not have attained that samskar or that purification in oneself. And even that situation, what does one do? That he sees that all the activities are all meant for Krishna. Or actually Krishna has engaged him in such activities. In other words, everything what he does with his mind, body and senses, he sees everything in relationship with Krishna. Devam eva apareyatyam yoginam paryupasade brahmagna apareyatyam yatyenev opajuhvadim. That they only see Brahman as a position where one is able to burn one's own karma in that process by everything is offered to Brahman. That whatever the activities they perform, whatever the results they get from that, it is offered to Brahman. Or in other words, it becomes spiritual in nature. Shrotradi indriya nyenye samyama agnisha jukhvari shabdadin vishayananya indriya agnisha jukhvari. That from now you can see that different ways how different people in spiritual life approach Krishna. They approach Krishna through different ways. They're trying to approach Krishna. So here, these personalities, Shrotradi Indriyanyanye Samyama Agnishu Jukhvadim, that some people, what they do is Samyamam. Samyamam means control, restrictions. They perform restrictions by controlling their senses, all the senses. That means eyes, nose, touch, everything, all the senses what they have in control, they control them in such a way, restrict them in such a way, and that way they achieve Brahman. They perform this, they make their life as a offering to Krishna. Shrotradin indriyanyanye samyam agnishu jukhvari shabdadin vishayananya indriyagnishu jukhvari. So some other people, what they do, shabdadin vishayananye indriyagnishu jukhvari. Some people control their senses in such a way that they are able to make it as an offering to Krishna. Some other people, what they do, they control the sense objects. In other words, either they control their senses and make it an offering, or they control the sense objects. They don't allow the sense objects to overpower them. So that is why in those two lines, two different ways how it's done. Shrotradi indriyanyanye samyam agnishu jihvari, shabdadin vishayananye indriyagnishu jihvari. In other words, they consider that the senses as the fire, and they offer all the sense gratification, what comes from the sense objects, as an offering into that fire. That way they control themselves. And some other people, what do? They offer or control all their senses, and that control itself is offered into samyamam, or into they restricted them also in that way. So either way, the goal is ultimately to please Krishna. That is the goal. And for different ways, people approach Krishna in different ways. Sarvan indriya karmani prana karmani chapare atma samyamayo gagno jihvadi jnana dibideyam. That some other people, what they do is all their sensual activities and all the activities relating to their body, they offer it to Krishna. Sarvan indriya karmani prana karmani chapare. This is the Ashtanga Yoga system of Paranjali. Paranjali is Ashtanga Yoga. Ashtanga Yoga is like this. Yamam, Neyamam, Asanam, Pranayamam, Pratyaharam, Dharana, Dhyanam, Samadhi. There are eight systems in Ashtanga Yoga. Paranjali is Ashtanga Yoga. Paranjali has written a book called Yoga Darshanam. So if you read that book, that will explain how one can understand the and follow the Ashtanga Yoga system. But all these things are mentioned here for one reason only, that the transcendent, the people who try to attain perfection in spiritual life, they have all these different options. But when we come to Bhakti Yoga, you will see why process of Krishna consciousness is far superior to all these systems. At different times in the history, people absorbed so many different processes, different great sages like Paranjali. They wrote this Ashtanga Yoga system book, and many people who had such a way of nature, they followed that process. But the difficulties are there, that you will know when you analyze these different yoga systems, that you can also experience why it happens. For example, this Ashtanga Yoga system comes merely by practice. It's by practicing, determination, very strong determination, a good teacher, and you have completely, if you practice it all the time, you can make it a success in the Ashtanga Yoga system. But the difficulty with Ashtanga Yoga system is like this, that sometimes Ashtanga Yogis, they become very advanced in their yoga process. They become very advanced in the yoga process. But at the same time, simply by practicing it, by a strong determination and full commitment and determination, they practice it and they become very advanced in the yoga process. But although they have advanced in that way, the mind is not pure yet. So what happens? Sometimes it so happens, when they get to see some wealthy people, they try to exhibit their yogic power to them. And then the desire is to accumulate wealth through that. This desire will come to them. Why? The mind is not pure. Because there is no devotion in the heart, so therefore attachment to wealth has not left them. Attachment to enjoyment has not left them in this world. So although on the yoga system they have advanced and they have gone quite far, and sometimes people will see them and they will start making these comments, oh, what a wonderful yogi he is. He has got so much yogic power. He can do so many things, produce gold from the sky and offer it to you and keep you happy about it. So if you can get all this one, and there is, Krishna will talk about this in the Srimad Bhagavatam much more in detail, about the different siddhis, what comes from the yoga practices. And there also Krishna actually warns the devotee that don't get distracted by these things. Kalakshapana hedava, it's only these things cannot help you. Krishna says to Uddhava, when if you want to come back to me, all these yoga systems are not really the right one. You have to follow the process of Krishna consciousness. That will come much later. But in one instance, Krishna says like this, that all these different kinds of yoga system, they will come as an obstacle in your path towards going back to Krishna. They will become an obstacle in your path. Ittham dadhyana yogi punarani mahima adhyashta samsistayasta dura shatvadayobi
Ahamahamigaya sambhaveyan murare. When the dhyana yogam or meditation process, which comes at the very end of the Ashtanga Yoga system, and that is where you come to the final realization state of samadhi. But before that, the chances of falling are very high. The chances of falling from that yoga system are very, very high. Many often we may not get there. Before that itself, you become so expert in some process, in the yogic process, that you start exhibiting your success in yoga system, and people get attracted to you, and then they start offering you wealth and offering you fame, and you become victimized by that. That is what happens with that. So, dura shruti adayo bi ahamahavigaya sambhaveyan murare. What will happen is, so many yogic powers will come. Yogic powers like what? Dura shravanam. Dura shravanam means, if you sit here, you can hear some conversation that's going on, say in America or in Australia. Some people are talking to each other. You can sit here and listen to that from here. Another instance, paragaya pravesham. You can leave your body somewhere, enter into someone else's body and enjoy through him what you want to enjoy. Then what else? You got other capacity, like for example, you can walk over the water. You can walk over the water. And things like this, and also you will be able to travel through the sky. And sitting in one place, you will be able to attract things from a faraway place to come to you automatically. You don't have to go looking for it. It will come to you. And like this, many, many things are mentioned in the... There is about 8 major siddhis, and then 8 minor siddhis, and another 16 of them, still minor ones. Krishna discusses all that in the Ekadasha Skandham later. But what normally happens is, some of these things are, when someone hears, oh, what a wonderful thing, sitting here, you can listen to the conversation in America, what's going on, it's not too bad a thing, why we need television, all that. Everything is so easily accessible. You can, when you discuss that chapter in the Ekadasha Skandham, people get so attracted to it, and they say, this is not a bad book, Srimad Bhagavatam. If it can offer all these kind of things, I don't have to go to work tomorrow, everything what I need will come to me. People come to you with money and fame, everything. And Krishna is warning. Krishna says, all this is from me, I give it to them. Who gives all these things? Krishna gives it to them. Why does Krishna give it to them? Because they have decided to go in the spiritual life. That's why they get it. But if you follow that route, you won't get Krishna. You will get all those siddhis, but Krishna won't be there. If you want Krishna, you have to follow the process of Krishna consciousness. There is no other process. That is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. Krishna is saying to Arjuna, to Uddhava. Uddhava asked Krishna about it. And Krishna said to Uddhava, you can have everything, all these things, but don't get distracted, he said. This is Krishna's opulences, this Aishwaryams. Aishwaryas are also Krishna's opulences. Krishna is trying to show us that this loss of material world, what we are trying to manipulate, is nothing compared to the spiritual world. The spiritual energy of Krishna is far more superior to the material energy. Material energy we are trying to study, we do research and we conduct so many experiments to understand the material laws of nature. But imagine, once you cross over the material laws of nature, you try to understand the spiritual laws of nature, spiritual laws, then you are completely bewildered by the capacity of the spiritual life and spiritual power of Krishna's spiritual energy. So that is where the yogis get into this problem. Many, many yogis, they fall at that stage. It's quite very rare they go beyond than that, because of this tendency of being attracted by, captivated by the power of these opulences that comes to you. So it's a dangerous thing. So in these verses, what's actually Krishna is saying this, but they're all trying to come to me by these different processes. Sarvan indriya karmani prana karmani chabare alpa samyama yoga agnau jihvadi jnana divide. That there you will see that the yogis have tried, and what do? They try to offer everything, all their activities of the senses, prana, everything in this process of Ashtanga Yoga. And due to not only that, along with that, what do? They engage their intelligence also. It's very seriously in the analyzing the absolute truth, in understanding the truth. So because they absorb so much in that, their mind and senses are under control. Not only that, even the intelligence becomes purified and they become totally absorbed in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, in the process of advancing in the spiritual path. So because that is happening, it says there, the mind will automatically come under control because they are so strongly, they have such a powerful determination in them to execute spiritual life. Because of the constant analysis of the truth in their own mind, they are able to control their mind and absorb the intelligence also in such activities. And they are able to enjoy to some degree the spiritual realization. So these few verses, Krishna spoke about the different ways the people try to advance on the spiritual path. After this, Krishna says, Dravayatnyastavoyatnyam yogayatnyastathapare swadhyayatnyaniyatnyascha yataya samshidavradaha. That in different ways people approach me, Krishna says, and for that what do? Dravayatnyam, tapoyatnyam, yogayatnyam, swadhyayam, jnaniyatnyam. All these different things, Krishna says, are there. Then dravayatnyam means sacrifices. Sacrifices means for which you require dravyam. Dravyam means money or ingredients, what you require. That's the dravyam. So all this dravyam is used. For example, major karmagandam sacrifices, they are used for pleasing Krishna by performing sacrifices. It requires dravyam. And then by dravyayatnyastathayatnyam, also by austerities and penances. People who don't have wealth, what do? They perform austerities and penances, isn't it? They go to the forest and severe execution of penances they do, tapasya. So they perform that to please Krishna. Then they perform yoga to please Krishna. Different kinds of yoga system they perform to please Krishna. Above that jnanis, what do? Jnanis, they engage in cultivating transcendental knowledge by trying to study the Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita. And from that, they develop the spiritual path through the process of analytical knowledge and through Sankhyam and through Jnana Margam. So that is by studying from a teacher the process of cultivating spiritual transcendental knowledge. So that way they proceed with that. Some other people, they take to some mantra they receive from a spiritual master and chant the mantra. And by upasana, upasana means perfection of that mantra by their own following that process strictly. They prefer. And other people, atmanusandhanam, that means by continuously being fixed up in spiritual path, they try to maintain their steadiness in spiritual life. So different ways, people are all trying to achieve Krishna. There is no question about that. Once someone comes to spiritual life, then one understands that I'm not this body. That is the beginning of that. As soon as one understands I'm not this body, that I'm something beyond the body, then the inquiry starts from that point, isn't it? Then you want to know, what am I? As long as you are thinking you are this body, then there is no spiritual life. Up to that point, it's all simply bodily happiness or bodily enjoyment and identification with the body. But Bhagavad Gita, as he said in the beginning of the second chapter, spiritual life begins at the point when you understand your independent nature, that you are not this body, but you have to start from the soul. Once you understand you are the soul, then you have to start your spiritual life. And that spiritual life is this, what has been discussed in the few previous verses. So Krishna says there, they come like this to me. Apane jukhvadi pranam, pranopanam tatha apare, pranapanagati yuddha pranayama parayanaha. Then some people, there is in the body what is known as five different kinds of air. Pranan, apanan, samanan, udanan, vyanan. These are the five different kinds. Out of this, pranan is the one which actually brings the soul and takes it away from this body. Well, pranan and soul are always together. Pranan is one of the most important one in that. So the pranan has a control on the... Control means it travels with the soul during the process of the... in this yogic practices also. So pranan has been given a very important position there. But there is another thing called apanan. Apanan is the one that allows the body to release all the unwanted things from the body. That is a function of the apanan. So this pranan and apanan, they have two different functions. But there is a process in the Hatha Yoga system whereby pranan and apanan are brought together. That is what they do in Hatha Yoga system. In Hatha Yoga, Pranan and Apanan, they are brought together, and through that they control the body. So these things can help. These are all very subtle things and known to Patanjali, the originator of this yoga system. Then there was other great acharyas also who were absorbed in this process of Hatha Yoga and also Ashtanga Yoga and all. But the difficulty with all these things, to get a teacher who can guide you properly all the time. Because if you do things by getting a book from the library or from W.H. Smith and start reading it and start tomorrow onwards, I'll be a Hatha Yogi, you will get into trouble. Because these things are very sensitive. Sensitive in the sense, when you practice them, if you are not properly doing it, it can upset the whole body as well, including your mind. And there are people who have gone crazy doing these things. It is known in the history. Therefore, to get a person who will teach you properly, number one. Number two, you have to be careful also that while executing these kind of processes, that although you may be progressing on that process by practice, simply by practicing it, the very heavy determination is necessary to advance on that path. For example, if you have a family life and the family is always demanding things, and if you tell them that I'm going to practice Hatha Yoga, that life won't last very long. Very soon it will come to an end. Either it will be Hatha Yoga or me. That will be the situation. So, so in order to understand, these processes has its own difficulties in executing. In certain times in the history, some people, there was a time like early days in Skodayugam and Tridayugam and all, people were capable of doing these things because they had that determination, capacity to do things, and the strength of mind. Whereas by the age of Kaliyugam, as you know very well, what our position is today. Kaliyugam, we are only capable of only one thing. What is that? Fill the belly and sleep. That's what our strength is. Because this bodily needs in Kaliyugam is much more than in all other previous yugas. That is the difficulty with Kaliyugam. Bodily needs are much higher. That we discussed this before. That in Satyugam, people were willing to survive till they got to their bones. Astigata prana, they are referred to as astigata prana. That up to the bone, as long as the bones are there, they survive. To such an extent, they could torture their body, in other words. That if you see Hiranyakashipu's penances in the Bhagavadam, which happened in the Swayambhuva Manu's time, that is when this has happened in Satyugam, there you will find what all Hiranyakashipu has done. You can't even imagine such a penances to perform in Kaliyugam. Hiranyakashipu, although a demon, was so powerful in his determination. Who has got that determination today? First of all, the lifespan is short, as Bhagavadam says, beginning, isn't it? Srimad Bhagavadam, in the beginning itself, what does it say? The lifespan is very, very short. Prayena alpa ayusha sabhya. Alpa ayusha, that is our life. And at least we are saying now we have got 60, 70 years. But if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find by the end of Kali Yugam, the oldest person will be of 20 years or 22 years. If you get to 20, you should consider yourself very lucky. That is what Bhagavatam is saying. In the 12th canto, you can read that. That it says there, by 2025, you will be considered as the senior citizen. You will be given all facilities by 20. You get your free bus pass and everything, whatever you are looking for at the age of 20. Can you imagine, at the age of 20 you have free tube travel, free bus pass and pension, everything you get it at the age of 20. So that will come in Kaliyugam later. But even in the beginning of Kaliyugam, our stage is like this. Prayena alpa isha sabhya kalau asmin yuge janaha manda sumandamadayo mandabhagya ubhadrudaha. That every way we are unfortunate people. That is what Bhagavatam is saying. Mandaha. Everyone, everything, slowly, slowly. There is no rush. Why you are rushing, we say. If you say to you talk to them about spiritual life, he says, spiritual life, why? What is the rush for that? That is the first answer that will come from anybody. Mandaha. Slowly, slowly. No rush, he says. Then, if it is slowly, it doesn't matter. Sumandamadayaha. that if you say something about spiritual life, it doesn't click easily. This is the problem. It doesn't get into the head also easily. You will start thinking, if something is told, immediately the answer will be, how do you know this is all correct? Have you seen God? Does God exist? And then he wants a proof for all that. But if you present something from the newspaper, he will accept it. If you send something from the Bhagavad Gita, he doubts it. Why? Because he thinks the newspaper is really an authority because it is something seen by somebody and reported. He cannot accept that. Bhagavad Gita's conclusions are also equally truthful because it's come from a higher authority. No, there he's got all the doubts. Why? Mandaha sumandamadayaha sumandamadaya. The intelligence is lacking. Lacks the intelligence to see things properly, to discriminate things properly. So he's always thinking that sumandamadaya, that lazy nature in the mind, that not able to grasp things easily, that's another aspect of this Kali Yuga. Manda sumandamadayo. Now, it's okay. First of all, it is manda. Then it is sumandamadi. Then what else? Vedavyasa is lamenting actually. Manda bhagya huvadrudaha. Manda bhagyam. There is no luck also. At least if there is some good luck, it doesn't matter. Even there is no luck either, he says. So Vedavyasa knew these things so much in advance. And therefore, what did he do? Knowing very well, actually, you will see, even if you ask people, say, who are quite old now, say 80 years, 90 years, they will tell you that when we were young, 20 or 30 years old, say about 50 years ago, they will say the society was not like this as it is today. Many people will tell you that. Anywhere you can ask, they'll tell you this. Why? If you tell them, they'll say, at least in our younger days, there was some principle among the people that it has been lost, and young people respecting women, respecting children, respecting older people, all these things have gone from the society. The older people will tell you like that. And sometimes they are so embarrassed by everything. They don't know what to say. Because the whole society has come to such a turmoil that they will keep saying this. They can't say anything anymore. Because what do you say? Your own family is in so much distress in so many ways. All got into all kinds of problems. So they have stopped speaking now anymore about it. Because otherwise, this is the experience of most of the older people. They can always tell you these things, their own experiences. And when this is happening, you can see that people are also realizing that time is changing, that Kali Yuga is taking control of everybody in some way or the other. So where does this Kali Yuga come? Kali Yuga affects nothing else. Mainly it affects the intelligence. It affects the intelligence of the people. How does it affect the intelligence? It gives you all strange ideas. It takes you away from the important business in this life and makes you feel something which is not important as very important in life. That is the beauty of this Kali Yuga. That something what's important, it will not make you to think like that. But something else which has no significance, will make you think that this is the most important thing in life. And then once you get into that mood, then you cannot think anything independently. Day after day after day, you go on struggling with that. So what has Vedavyasa said at this time? The sages also knew that this is how things are going to be in the age of Kali. So therefore what they did was, they have given us plenty of, they knew what was going to come. So they have given us enough information that this is the future and therefore to be careful about it. They warned us about it. If you remember in the Naimisharanyam, when the Bhagavata Satram was started, where Sudha Goswami and Shaunaka Rishi had discussed Srimad Bhagavatam, at that time, this Naimisharanyam had got one exception. Naimisharanyam had this exception at that time that as long as the Satram was going on, Kali will not touch Naimisharanyam. So that was a special benediction. That is why that Satram was performed in Naimisharanyam. Naimisharanyam is a place near Lucknow. So what has happened was, when this was discussion was going on there in Naimisharanyam, and very well they were aware of the incoming Kali, how it was going to change the people. So when they started this Satram in Naimisharanyam, they were continuously discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. And at that point, they came to realize that this Kali Yuga, with all its glory, is going to attack the people. So, what did they do? They said, continuously study Srimad Bhagavatam in order to protect yourself from the influence of Kali. That was their conclusion. So the end of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when it was discussed in Naimisharanyam, Suda Goswami and Suda Goswami and Shaunak Rishi, they discussed. And at that point, Parishad Maharaj was asking Sudeva Goswami, what should one do? What should one do in Kali Yugam? Kali Yugam is such a powerful influence on people's intelligence. And they won't have the intelligence to understand things. So, therefore, Sudeva Goswami says to Parishad Maharaj like this. What did he say? Kalau doshanithe rajan. Kali Yugam is full of faults in the people. People don't have any capacity to do anything. They are very, very poor in their intelligence. Everywhere you look around, everyone looks unhappy in one way or the other. Simply to even to maintain the body, they have to struggle so much. Kalau doshanithe rajan. And full of faults, Sukadeva Goswami says. When Sukadeva Goswami says, when something is full of faults, it means it's full of faults, actually. What is the faults? Faults are this, that he does not have the capacity to do anything in spiritual life. He is simply controlled by the modes of nature and also the senses. Filling the belly, this is the main business of the Kali Yugam. Kalau doshanithe rajan. Then, asti keho mahan gunan. Although it is like that, but this is at the very end of Srimad Bhagavatam, this comes. Parishad Maharaj was actually frightened when he heard about Kali Yugam, what was coming in after his departure from this world. So he says to Parishad, Kali Rudhosh, Kalau Dhoshanithe Rajan, Asti Keho Mahan Gunan. There is one gunam, one quality for this Kali Yugam. Everyone likes Kali Yugam for one reason. What is that? Kirtanal Krishna Sangasya. If you simply glorify Krishna without thinking anything else, simply engage in pleasing Krishna by chanting the holy name, by performing Sankirtanam, by reading Srimad Bhagavatam. This is all Sankirtana process. All of it is Sankirtanam. Sankirtanam doesn't mean only going out and performing Harinam. That is also Sankirtanam. But all these processes, chanting the holy name is Sankirtanam. Performing, executing, distributing the holy name is Sankirtanam. Having kirtanam in the temples at home, all are sankirtanam. Studying Srimad Bhagavatam is sankirtanam. All these are sankirtanam. So there, Sukadeva Goswami says to Parishad, Kalau doshanithe rajan, asti keho mahan gunan, kirtanal Krishna sangasya. If you simply glorify Krishna in this way, mukta sangaparam brajel, then you can go back home back to Krishna. So that is the beauty of Kali Yugam, which is not there in the previous yugas. This is a concession given to us. So therefore, here what you have to understand, that it says here that when coming to Hatha Yoga, I was mentioning this, all these yoga processes are there. It does exist. But don't endeavor in that direction. It's not going to work. You'll simply waste your time, and after a few years, you'll come to realize that you are neither here nor there. Neither you develop some attachment for Krishna, nor you have made any progress in Hatha Yogam or whatever the other yoga system. In different times, these were practiced by different people, but it is not for this age. Aparenyadahara pranan praneshu jukhvadi sarvepede yajnavido yajnakshavida kalmasha. We are discussing all these things. Why? Because it is in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all the yoga systems. So while discussing Bhagavad Gita, we have to discuss all these things, because these are different transcendentalists of different processes. Therefore, we should understand also what it means. Some people, what they do is they control their eating habits, and that way they control the pranan. Then, sarve pyade yajna vido yajna kshavida kalmashaha. That all these people who are mentioned in the beginning, before this verses, they were all made their life as a yajnam. Yajnam means a sacrifice. By performing sacrifices, this is all sacrifice. Hatha Yogam is a sacrifice. And also Ashtanga Yogam is a sacrifice. Why? You are sacrificing your energy, intelligence, mind, everything in order for a higher purpose. Not for your own sense enjoyment, but for advancing on the spiritual path. So it's all different kinds of sacrifices. So what does this word means then?
Sarve pede yajna vidau yajna kshavida kalmashaham.
That from this you can understand, generally people will say yajna means sacrifice, isn't it? But from here, from Krishna's words, you can see yajna does not mean only a fire sacrifice. Generally, people have the impression that a fire sacrifice, for example, what is mentioned in the Karmakanda, Adiyatram, Agnishtomam, Vajaveyam, there are so many different sacrifices mentioned. Only they are referred to as yajnam. But Krishna is saying here, all these are yajnams. If you engage in any of this way, if you engage your life, that means, in other words, yajnam is a kind of samskar in a person. It becomes a purificatory process in a person and he becomes purified. That is a yajnam. That's what Krishna is saying there. And the result of yajnam is what? Self-realization. That is the goal at the end of that. That every activity, when it is offered to Krishna in some form or the other, then it becomes a yajnam. And because the ultimate goal is Krishna, Krishna is the ultimate goal. So if it's executed like that, it becomes a yajnam. So what Krishna is saying here is that if you have wealth, capacity to offer wealth, you can make it as a yajnam. If you have austerities and penances, you can offer it as a sacrifice to Krishna. Charity or austerities, and then that knowledge, if you have knowledge, it can be made as an offering to Krishna. If you have capacity to execute yoga systems, like Hatha Yoga and all that, that can be offered to Krishna. Ultimately, all of them becomes yajnam or sacrifice to please Krishna.
Yajna shishtamrita bujo yanti brahma sanadhanam nayam logostha yajnasya kudonya kurusattamaham.
Then, in other words, if one performs yajnam, there will be what is known as yajna prasadam. Prasadam means the result and benefit from all that by performing this. So what is the benefit of all these things? Is ultimately self-realization. That is the goal. It is, everything is directed towards this one point of self-realizing the self, what I am. At the moment, I do not know what I am. I am identifying with my body and all the time. I'm spending all my energy and everything only for this benefit, purpose of maintaining this body, which I am told I am not. So Shastras are telling me I am not this body, and I am whole day busy with maintaining this body. Isn't it? Somehow in a day, you spend, actually if you analyze yourself, out of the 24 hours, how much time you spend for maintaining the body, and how much time you spend for spiritual life? Have you any time looked at that? If you analyze it, you will find 8 hours sleep, average, if you take it. That's for maintaining the body, isn't it? And eating, cooking, eating, all that, a few hours. All other activities, cleaning the body and exercising the body. Things like that, majority of time in a day is spent for the body. And Bhagavad Gita is telling us you are not this body. So imagine our situation, that you are cursing and working whole day in maintaining this body, isn't it? So therefore, Krishna is saying here that
yajna shishta amrita bhuje yandi brahma sanadhanam nayam logostha yajnasya kudonya kurusattamam.
The goal is self-realization. Ultimately want to find out what is the truth, what I am. So that is ultimate goal. And therefore that, because to release oneself from this bodily identification and going towards the absolute truth, that process, so self-realization is the ultimate goal. And what will happen is, if one does not follow, if one does not, Krishna says, if one does not make one life in line with as a sacrifice to Krishna, what will happen to him, that person? Krishna says there, that what can happen is, he will ultimately become very depressed in life. That is the result of that. That one who has made his life as a sacrifice to Krishna, that will bring him happiness. And it is that happiness that elevates that person. He will go up in his life, that the person who is making progress on the spiritual path, for him, happiness there in this world, as well as even after leaving the body. But one who has identified himself with the body and never cared for the soul, he has to all the time regret. Because even in this world, he doesn't become happy, nor does he become happy in the life after. So these are the dangers involved with that. That even good experience, happiness in this world is very rare for such people.
യജ്ഞശിഷ്ട അമൃതഭുജോ യാന്തി ബ്രഹ്മസനാതനം നയം ലോകോസ്ഥയജ്ഞസ്യ കുതോന്യ കുരുസത്തമ. കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സെയിങ് ഹിയർ, വാട്ട് ഈസ് ദ പോയിന്റ്? നയം ലോകോസ്ഥയജ്ഞസ്യ കുതോന്യ കുരുസത്തമം. That what is the point? Krishna says that if he is not, he is ayajnasya. Ayajnasya means one who does not make his life as a sacrifice to please Krishna. Evam bhavida yajna vidada brahmano mukhe karma janmididhan sarvan evam yatva vimokshyase. Then so many different sacrifices have come from Brahma and Brahma and from the Absolute Truth, and they are all in some way or the other related to our work in this world. But working is not the goal. Ultimately, Krishna is the goal. And therefore, one who uses his energy or ability to do something in this world in relationship with Krishna, he gets the ultimate benefit from that. He goes back home back to Krishna. Then, these things are explained here that why it is necessary that one do not become totally selfish in life. Because generally, out of the four ashramams, Brahmachari, Grahastham, Vanaprastham and Sannyasam, these are the four major ashramas in the according to Vanashrama Dharma. Vanashrama Dharma has got these four ashramas. Among these four, Brahmacharis and Sannyasis life is, Brahmachari is a life is preparation for the Grahastha ashram. And Vanaprastha ashram is preparation for the Sannyasa ashram. That is how it is structured. So in other words, the two major ashrams are Grahastha ashram and Sannyasa ashram, isn't it? Brahmachari ashram is preparation for the Grahastha's life. And Vanaprastha ashram is preparation for the Sannyasa's life. Or in other words, you are conditioning the person to get used to the particular ashram. That is why it is these four ashramas are created. In Brahmachari life, you are trained in such a way that you have a Grahastha ashram which is very successful. If one is trained properly, one will get that opportunity to execute Grahastha ashram properly. Today, you will notice that most of the people in the world today who are in the householder life, they have a lot of distress in life due to various reasons, whatever it is. And often people in the Kali Yuga particularly, it seems, that the at some point in Grahastha ashram they get so tired and fed up of it, they leave everything and go. And in the according as the Kali Yuga advances, that is what is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, that they will leave everything and go to the forest, because on the one side government will tax them heavily, taxes will go up all the time, and you will realize one day that everything what you are earning is simply for handing over to the government, and you are working and working all day and nothing is coming benefit from that. And people will be exploited to such extent that they will become so unhappy about life. And on the other hand, at least if there is some happiness at home after doing all these things, there is no happiness at home either. So, on the one hand, at the workplace there is no happiness. Government is extracting everything what you have done. Either somebody, finance minister or whoever it is, he will make laws in such a way that here he will give you something less and there he will take it back everything, 10 times more. And that all the politicians are talking about it all the time. So whatever it is, that eventually you will come home with less in the hand. So this way taxation will give you trouble. And on the other side, family and also not very satisfying condition. So man gets fed up and at the end he says, enough is enough, I'm going now. I had enough of this household life. So why this has all happened? Because in the Vanashrama Dharma system, the Brahmachari life is the time when one learns about Grahastha ashram. Then in the Brahmachari life, if he is trained properly, you will notice that is why all this Vanashrama Dharma has the purpose of Vanashrama Dharma was for that purpose. That it was only created that life in this world and the life after both become successful. That was the goal behind it. It was not meant that today people in the householder life thinks that as soon as they get married, things simply thinking about enjoying and enjoying the senses. That becomes the goal. The whole priorities have changed. But after a while, they themselves get so fed up with the material life and also with the householder life, and then they become depressed about it. So in order such a thing do not happen, in Brahmachari life itself, the purpose of householder life is taught to the student. That is what he learns in the household Brahmachari life. And Brahmachari life, he is trained to execute the householder life properly. So therefore, when the last ceremony in the Brahmachari life is called Samavartanam,
When Samavartanam is finished and when he comes to householder life, then he realizes that human life has a much higher purpose in householder life and he is able to do that properly. So this is the purpose behind it. So here, what is mentioned here is that when the sacrifices are performed, according in the Ajurvedam, according to the Kamagandam, different sacrifices are mentioned. Different animals are sacrificed, isn't it? Different animals are sacrificed. For example, Ashwamedham, horses are sacrificed. And similarly, goat is sacrificed sometimes. And cows are sacrificed. But they all have a higher principle behind it, that it is very much accepted by the Shastram. But when these animals are taken to the sacrifice, they'll be crying. The goat will be crying, meh, 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 meh. It will be crying like this, isn't it? It cries all the time because it's looking for sense gratification at that time. So that meh, 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 if comes to one's own, our own life, it's me, me, me all the time. Then what will happen? Krishna says there, in that situation, you'll be like the goat. You'll be sacrificed in this world. That's all. You lose your body, you get another body straight away and come back here again and continue with it. So don't become like that goat, Krishna says. That don't become, you keep crying this me, me, me all the time. And me, me, me will take you to that situation tomorrow that ultimately you will find that you will not be able to do anything. You can't protect anything in this world. And that is why it's mentioned that life has to become a sacrifice as much as possible to please the Supreme Personality, Krishna. So whatever one is capable of doing, either with wealth or with knowledge or with anything physically, if one offers to Krishna, that purifies that person. That is Krishna consciousness. That is why Prabhupada has created this system of glorifying Krishna through different ways, somehow or the other, that one do not offer all his energy in Krishna service. So that is what is discussed there. In different ways that possibility is given. But if you don't do that, what will happen is you can take to the chapter number 16 and see. There are two verses there. Chapter 16, 12 and 13. If you take it and look at that, two verses, one Krishna says, what will happen to you if you don't do it? Asha Pashabadeir Baddha Kama Krodha Varayana Ihande kama bhogartam anyeyan artha sanjayan. 12, verse 12, chapter 16. Krishna says there, when one is driven simply by his own sense gratification, material desires continuously pouring in. Asha apasha shadeir baddhaha. Hundreds and hundreds of material desires are coming and binding him. Attachment and desire, lust and anger, all these things will start developing inside. Kama krodha parayanaha. Lust and anger will build up inside the mind. Ihande kama bhogartham anyeyan artha sanjayan. That kamam and bhogam, lust and sense gratification, and he will start burning in that. But he will not be able to control them. It will keep growing all the time. And as much as this desire for sense gratification increases, along with that, the need for money, wealth also will increase. And then what will happen? You will not think about the right and wrong. All the discrimination will go. This is the right way to make money, or is the wrong way to make money. All this kind of discrimination will go away from a person like that. And you will start accumulating wealth without any other consideration. By thieving, stealing, whatever, lying or cheating, whatever process, one may try to start acquiring wealth in that way. So this is coming, Krishna says, this will happen to you if you do not make it as a sacrifice in life. Asha bhasha shadeir baddhaha kama krodha parayanaha ihande kama bhogartam anyeyan artha sanjayan idam adhyamaya labdham imam prapse manoratham idasti idam abhime bhavishyati punardhanam. Then even if one something comes to your hand, somehow or the other, even if it is a small thing, temporarily you will be satisfied with that. This is the nature. And you will be thinking, oh, how fortunate I am. At least something I got from this deal. This is how you think like that. That in this way, you will please yourself all the time. I am happy because I have achieved something, attained something. And at the same time, the very next moment, after obtaining something, you'll start saying the next moment, oh, I lost the taste for it, I need something else then. Next. You will see sometimes people acting like this. And it's very funny to see them. They'll go and buy something from the market. And they'll show, come back home. And for some time, you should look at their face, is beaming with happiness that they managed to get something on a sale or a profit or whatever it is. And something they got it. And they look at it and it's a wonderful thing I've got in my life. But that happiness only lasts for a very short time. By the next day, they are again depressed. All their happiness is over. So they were willing to sacrifice 10 or 20 pounds or whatever it is, and some happiness they got. Depending on one's capacity, this depends. If it is a very big businessman, he'll be concerned if he will succeed in making a big deal somewhere involving few millions of pounds. So then he feels that I've done a big deal and so much money is coming to my company. Now I will expand. I will do this. I have big, big plans for the expansion. And then he go for a big dinner in a big restaurant, takes all his family, invites all his friends. And like this, he celebrates in a big scale. So, but a smaller person who doesn't have a lot of money, he gets satisfied with smaller things. When he buys something, some new gadget, which he found attractive in Argus or somewhere, he gets it. And then for some time, he gets some happiness out of it. But the big businessman who got this £1 million order, and this small person who purchased a small item and felt happiness, they are both temporary. Neither of them last very long. Because after some time, the businessman's anxiety again starts. Because this business where he has built this business, here he has generated this profit or whatever it is, that's causing him further anxiety about commitments, what he has committed, or future. If he has employed more people, he has to keep them going. So all the other commitments comes along with that. Meanwhile, he has no time for any other thing. So he goes on and on. So Krishna is saying here, this is the nature of the mind. That's what Krishna is saying. If the mind is not properly controlled, this is what's likely to happen. Idam adhyamaya labdham, idam adhyamaya labdham, imam prapse manoratham. This is called manoratham. In the mental chariot, one gets in. Idam asti idam avide bhavishyati punardhanam. Then sometimes when material wealth is increasing, then planning also goes on day by day. He keeps making plans day after day. And especially in the modern world, you have got so much facilities to spend your time in making plans for increasing your assets, isn't it? Everything what you touch today, you can consider that it will take all your time in analyzing how to improve your financial conditions. Isn't it? Because the reason for that is, when the Rajogunam increases in the world, naturally the business activities will also increase. And strictly speaking, such a very extensive network of business activities is not necessary for the human society. Because when you increase this business activities, what happens? Rajogunam is building up inside. The symptom of Rajogunam is this, always disturbed about it. And also feeling pride, I have made so much today, tomorrow I will be making so much, and day after, I don't know what I will be doing. There will be much more bigger plans coming. This is the nature of Rajogunam. And this business activities have got this deficiency, that it will completely control your mind all the time, and you will not be able to engage your mind peacefully in spiritual life. Therefore, Krishna is saying all these things, that today I have made so much, tomorrow the target is much bigger. The target is much bigger. So this way life goes on. And ultimately, do you gain anything? One day, all what you have made, either in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a beautiful story about this in the 11th canto of a Brahmana who became very, very wealthy. So wealthy by doing business. He became so wealthy, at the end, everything was taken away by different, like he became bankrupt, in other words. The house caught fire. The king who ruled the country got upset with him. So he booked him on a false case and took him to the court. His properties, assets were confiscated by the government. House got fire. And when he was making wealth, when he was making money, he didn't give any money to his family members either. Because he was thinking, it's mine, I'll keep to myself. And was feeling great happiness from that. Apparently, in the night time, when everybody has slept, what he used to do was, because those days obviously there were no banks or anything. So what he used to do, everything was in the form of gold coin. And he used to dig the earth and keep it underneath that. So in the night he'll go, take it out all and count it, one after the other. And he'll count it and he will put it back again. Again next night he will take it out to make sure that everything is still there. His mind was restless. So like this, whether you count gold coins or whether you count Her Majesty's notes, it's the same job. It is no difference. So the business is the same. Somebody is counting notes, somebody is counting gold coins, that's all. But this counting business is there in human mind. So this way it will get absorbed. And one day everything was taken away. Things went completely wrong in life. And Krishna saw this person once and observed him very carefully. This is known as Bhikshugita in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And that whole description is Krishna thought, this is something I should tell this world to learn from. Because if they don't learn, what can I do? I can tell them what they should learn. I'm giving examples also, what I have seen. And Krishna explained it so nicely in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's one whole chapter, Bhikshugita. We have to discuss that when we come to Agashaskandam later. But that is what the result is. That if one is too absorbed in this material calculations of accumulation of wealth and assets in this world, then eventually that is what is likely to happen. So all these things Krishna has mentioned. And it is at that time, after this, Krishna is trying to say in the Bhagavad Gita that there are two types of yajnam. One is called Drava Yajnam and the other one is called Jnana Yajnam. What is the difference? Drava Yajnam means yajnam which require different articles, wealth. Drava Yajnam. All the Drava Yajnam is sacrifices for which you require many, many things. You require the people, the right qualified people for chanting the mantras. For the fire sacrifices, different ingredients. And then a yajamanin who performs the sacrifice is required. Land is required. And for giving charity after the sacrifice, cows are required, gold is required, clothes are required. So these are all different things and will cost a lot of money to perform this dravayajnam. So what does Krishna say? Shreyan dravyamayadyajnyal jnana yajnyaparendava sarvam karma khilam partha jnane parisamapyade. Krishna is saying there that this dravyayajnam, which is sacrifices based on the karmakandam in the Vedas, better than that, Krishna is saying, Jnana Yajnam is better. Yajnam based on for knowledge. Karma Yajnam is, or Dravya Yajnam is, where you engage people to execute Yajnam or sacrifices for which you require wealth. A lot of wealth is required. But better than that, Krishna says here, Shreyan Dravya Mayad Yajnyal Jnana Yajnam Parandava. Jnana Yajnam is better. Why? Sarvam Karma Khilam Partha Jnane Parisamapyade. All karmam, Krishna says, ultimately it has to end up in knowledge. If you do not come to realize the self, or spiritual knowledge is not built up, then all this yajnam is also useless. But the purpose of all this different drava yajnam, or which is involves all the wealth, sarva karma akhilam partha. My dear Arjuna, all this karmam ultimately has to end up Jnane parisamapyade. Ultimately it has to bring knowledge to the person. Jnanam or realization has to come from that. That's what Krishna is saying here. that in order to... Now, what is Jnana Yajnam? Jnana Yajnam means in the olden days, not long ago, that Drava Yajnam was applied, Drava Yajnam was followed by people. Many people followed the Drava Yajnam. Because Drava Yajnam is, if you have the wealth, it is easy to execute the Drava Yajnam. By, you can offer your wealth, you can get the people to do that and things like that. But Jnana Yajnam requires your own effort. You need to be, you need to put your energy into it to develop the spiritual knowledge. That is known as Jnana Yajnam. So this Jnana Yajnam is more prominent in today, because compared to previous times, also there was Jnana Yajnam. But in those days, Jnana Yajnam means studying Upanishads and Bhagavad Gita. Not only you study Bhagavad Gita and Upanishads, from there we take what is known as different Prakaranam. Prakaranam means, in all the Upanishads and Bhagavad Gita, there is the spiritual knowledge distributed widely, all over. So with the help of a teacher, you spend your time with the teacher, and through his help, through his association, you develop, take different topics from these different Upanishads and study them thoroughly, and their commentaries and all their detailed analysis of all that. That's what you do in the process of Jnanayajna. So that Jnanayajna, if you pursue that seriously, what will happen is, in course of time, that Jnanam or knowledge will start manifesting in you. You will become realized in due course if it is done properly. This was the system in the olden days, Upanishads and Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is considered to be a Upanishad, although it is in the middle of Mahabharata. Because of the essence of all Bhagavad Gita is completely Upanishads knowledge. We mentioned that in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita's classes. So, that is known as Jnanayajna. But as such as this advancement of Kali has come, with the advancement of Kali, even that has become difficult. So that Jnanayajna is what is known as today as Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam, in the beginning itself it is mentioned that that Jnanayajna, what you would achieve by through Jnanayajna, studying through Upanishads or Bhagavad Gita for that matter, that knowledge you can attain through Srimad Bhagavatam. That is the specific business of Srimad Bhagavatam. Dharma projjita kaidavotra paramo nirmatsaranam satam vedyam vastavam atra vastu shivadam tapatrayonmulanam. Srimad Bhagavate mahamunikrade kimva parai ishvara sadyo hridya virudhyanetra kridivi shushrushubhi talchanal. In the Bhagavatam, Vedavyasa Maharshi, knowing very well our situation, said like this. Although Vedavyasa Maharshi compiled Bhagavad Gita also, but in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when he compiled, he mentioned like this in the beginning. What did he say? That Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krade, Mahamuni Vedavyasa Maharshi said, Kimva Varai Ishvara Sadyo Hridya Varudhyade Trakritibhi. That if you take the Srimad Bhagavatam in the hand and study it seriously, or listen to Srimad Bhagavatam, what will happen? Avaryudhyade Trakritibhi. Krishna will walk into your mind, walk into your heart and sit there. Shushroshubhim talchanal. Immediately it will start purifying your mind. So whatever you are going to get by studying the Upanishads and Bhagavad Gita and all that as a Jnanayajnam, the same Jnanayajnam results will come from Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the beauty of Srimad Bhagavatam. That Srimad Bhagavatam has got that capacity to bring you to that state of consciousness. That is why in this age of Kali, particularly in the age of Kali, Vedavyas, knowing our problem, he knew that people won't be able to study the Upanishads and the knowledge in the Upanishads because it is difficult for them. But whereas Srimad Bhagavatam, where Krishna agreed to be present while leaving the planet, Krishna agreed to be present in the Srimad Bhagavatam. If you take Srimad Bhagavatam seriously, that is the Jnanayajnam of Kali Yuga. The Jnanayajnam of Kali Yuga is Srimad Bhagavatam. If you study Srimad Bhagavatam and simply relish Bhagavatam, enjoy Srimad Bhagavatam and assimilate the knowledge in the Bhagavatam, you will attain to the same status as much as you perform a sacrifices and attain the perfection even higher than that, if you achieve that success in the Bhagavatam. So that is how it is understood. That Jnanayajna means Srimad Bhagavatam has three things: knowledge, renunciation and devotion. So these three things, bhakti, jnanam and vairagyam, all these things are in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And what you will attain from Upanishads is knowledge, from Bhagavad Gita is knowledge. And again, you have to develop devotion later, and even the renunciation. But by studying Srimad Bhagavatam, all the three things comes to a person. That is the beauty of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, tadvidhi pranivadena pariprasnena saivaya upadekshandide jnanam jnaninavastatvadarshina. If you look at the next verse, tadvidhi pranivadena pariprasnena saivaya upadekshandide jnanam jnaninavastatvadarshina. So, if you read that verse, it's a very famous verse, isn't it? Everybody knows, I think, this verse. Whoever has spent some time studying Bhagavad Gita, they know this verse. And everybody quotes it very freely also. That is the beauty of that verse. According to time, place and circumstances, it fits in very well. But the difficulty is, when you start analyzing this verse, a lot of problems come. And it disturbs the mind also sometimes. Tadvidhi pranibhadena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshandide jnanam jnaninastattva darshina. Krishna says there, very openly and straightforward, that in order to understand the truth, you have to approach a spiritual master. The self-realized soul can impart you the knowledge because he has seen the truth. Now, this is where all the problem starts. How do I find out all these things, what is mentioned there? He says, you should approach a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively. Surrender unto him. Serve him. And then it says, the self-realized soul can impart you the knowledge because he has seen the truth. Now, we have a problem here because Krishna is saying here, first thing what you have to do is tadvidhi pranipadena. Pranipadena means you have to pay your obeisances. There itself the problem starts. Because many people think, if you pay obeisances, what will happen? That's a question of surrender, isn't it? So, do I know whether I am going to the right person asking for this? Then the next question comes, pariprasnam. Pariprasnam means, you see, when Bhagavad Gita was written and when it was taken very seriously and followed in this world, this all these things used to happen. It is not that it was written for some other world. No, in this very world, these things did happen. Only thing is, what has happened is, in this world today, what we live, unfortunately, these things have been completely ignored. But when there was a system existed, the process was like this. When the brahmachari was ready for spiritual education, he was sent by the parents to the spiritual master, And he will spend all his brahmachari life with the spiritual master. And you have to read, there is description in the history also how this brahmachari education was conducted. So during that time, in that brahmachari education, he will get an opportunity to get to know the spiritual master. You have to know from whom you are, who are receiving the knowledge. The teacher gets an opportunity to study the student. The student's weaknesses and strengths, he gets an opportunity to understand. And how intense his desire is to go back home, back to Krishna, to the spiritual world. These things are looked at that time. It's not that you simply go to him and say to him that you initiate me now. He says, oh, carry on, get initiated. It's not like that, so simple. Tadvidhi pranipadena. So when the brahmachari is taken by the parents to the spiritual masters, Gurukulam, that is where the first training itself is, because he has already been taught that how he should approach the spiritual master. That is pranipadena, with full surrender. And when the spiritual master sees that surrender, he is willing to talk to him. Otherwise he doesn't want to talk to him. If the person who is coming, he is full of pride and ego, and maybe sometimes what happens in the modern world, he has got a lot of wealth as well with him. So when he comes, he has no surrender in him. He is thinking, can I buy the spiritual master? That's what he is thinking. And the spiritual master also does not know what to do. He also gets caught in this whole system. So where is the question of pranibhadena there? Pranibhadena doesn't happen there. There is no pranibhadam there. There is only simply an exchange of contract happens then. Pariprasnena sevayaha. The pariprasnam can only happen if there is pranivadam. If there is no pranivadam, there will be no pariprasnam. Because only when pranivadam is there, the spiritual master is willing to teach the student, or the teacher is willing to teach the student what he has to know about the absolute truth. And that is where the shravanam process begins. The hearing process starts. Years and years it takes for him to learn from the teacher, for the student, what is spiritual reality. And unless and until he is convinced and fixed up in his mind, this Shravanam process has to carry on. Unfortunately, in the modern world, people take it that Shravanam is not necessary anymore. Shravanam is not given importance, because sometimes they think, even the spiritual master is saying that I am visiting, but I disciple is saying I am busy, but I'll see you on the net. I'll meet you there in the internet. I'll get in touch with you through the email or internet. But Bhagavad Gita is saying, Tad vidhi pranivadena. Pranivadam is necessary. These are things you can see. Pariprasnena sevaya. Pariprasnam starts. It is not even prasnam. Pariprasnam it says. What is the difference? Prasna means simply mutually exchanging, inquiring and replying each other. Mutually, you can say that it's a discussion or a sort of a dialogue between the teacher and the student. Now, prasnam itself brings a lot of answers to the person. A lot of answers will come, because the student who had come, he doesn't know anything about the Absolute Truth. He does not know about spiritual life, about the spirit soul, about its true nature of the spiritual life. All these things are known to him. So he may have different questions in his mind. So when he comes to the teacher will ask him to ask questions. And at the same time, the student gets an opportunity to get to know him, because they live together. They live together. And in that way, who helps him at that time? The spiritual master's wife. He looks after the children very well. And he gives them he looks after, although the student has left home and come to the spiritual master's house, still he is not feeling that separation so strongly like he felt, because with parents he was attached. The parents will be attached to the child. So naturally, due to attachment, they will offer him all kinds of sense gratification. Whereas once you come to the spiritual master's house, that opportunity goes away. The teacher will know that for his spiritual advancement, what's beneficial he will offer. So pariprasnam will continue. And he will also realize this teacher who is teaching him is also following strictly 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, strictly what he is talking to him, what he is instructing him. This is necessary. That is how faith develops in a person's heart. Unless you know somebody enough, how can you trust anybody? You don't know anything. So therefore that relationship is necessary between the teacher and the student. Tad vidhi pranipadena, and then pariprasnena. Pariprasnam starts. Prasnam means only mutual discussion. But pariprasnam means much more deeper discussion about the different topics. In other words, that is when all his doubts are thrown out one after the other. One has so many doubts in this world, in different ways it comes to him. And all these doubts, if the student is particularly intelligent, he'll have a number of questions to ask. And all these questions have to be answered. Sometimes, because it's a spiritual topic, it is not possible for the teacher to answer all the questions. According to his capacity only he can answer, or according to his realizations. It is not that you learn something from the books and I'll tell him, that like, oh yeah, your question I can find out from the Google search. I'll find out and get you the answer. That is not pariprasnam. Pariprasnam is not like that. From a Google search, you don't get your pariprasnam. The pariprasnam here, what Krishna is talking about is that when the student is asking a question, the teacher should be able to tell him that he has realized this truth himself. Only then that teaching will have some effect on the student. Otherwise it won't have any effect. It will just go like a exercise. That's all. Pariprasnena. And then once you have developed this relationship between the teacher and the student, naturally what will happen? Without anybody telling the student, he will feel like serving him. Why? Because he started realizing the absolute truth in himself by this association with the teacher. Do you not feel like that? When someone has done to you something very valuable in life, somebody has offered you some very higher knowledge and took you out of this material existence, material world, and got you into the spiritual direction, do you not feel obliged to him? You will naturally feel a great obligation, and then nobody has to tell you to serve him. Naturally, the service will start coming from inside. He wants to please him as best as he can, because by service he knows that the spiritual master will reveal more understanding, a deeper realization from him. So you can see how Krishna has structured it. First pranipadam, then pariprasnam, and then seva. This is how it is. Pranipadam, pariprasnam, seva. Tadvidhi pranipadena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshandide jnanam. And to such a person, that person, the teacher will reveal everything what he can to him. And then, what kind of person? Jnaninaha tattva darshinaha. That such a person has to be a jnani. He should be well versed. He had to have two things. One, a very deep knowledge of the scriptures, of the shastram. That is number one. That's very important. A very, very deep understanding of the shastram. Number two, apart from that, he also has to have very intense sadhana or upasana in himself, in his own life. Now, whether the teacher is doing that or not, that the student will find out in due course. If he is staying with him, isn't it? If the student is with the teacher, the student will see every day that the spiritual master is getting up at 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and for 6-7 hours he is absolutely absorbed in his activities of spiritual activities. And that will strengthen the faith of the disciple or the student in the spiritual master's capacity to deliver him. So all these things don't happen if you are not with the spiritual master, or the student and the teacher are not together. This is why that Gurukulam system of education and the Gurukulam system of practicing spiritual life has had an immense effect on the people. And therefore the result was that the product that came out from that also had no doubts about spiritual life. Whereas in the later days, what has happened is, as time has passed through, we can see that how things have changed. Now we want to adjust everything, and we make too much adjustments. What happens is that the results also are not very satisfactory, which we are experiencing. I will not discuss that part of it, because then everybody knows what is the problems in this world. But what Krishna is saying here is, tadvidhi pranivadena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshandide jnanam, that to such a person the knowledge is given. Jnanina tattvadarshinaha. That jnani, or who has seen the truth. He has seen, he has already realized. And because he is realized, he can convince somebody else who is realized. What is this convincing? Convincing is not simply arguing each other. That's not convincing. And eventually telling the student, now you listen to me. If you haven't, don't ask any more questions. That's it. That's not convincing. No, that's not convincing. Convincing means that this process of Shravanam, I mentioned before, Shravanam, is the most important thing in the Vedic tradition. Hearing, hearing, hearing all the time. If you hear nicely, it will change you. It will change your way of thinking. It will change your understanding. And it will also purify your mind if you are hearing from the right source. That's why Shravanam is given so much importance. And as much as Shravanam continue, eventually what will happen is, with Shravanam, the doubts will go away from the mind. And today, if you have so many doubts about existence of God, whether God exists, or all the time doubting about spiritual life. Is spiritual life real? Or is it something I'm wasting my time? All these questions will come in everyone's mind. These questions do come. And you also think that on the other side, people are telling you that there's only one life. You live only once, and this opportunity you should not lose. And you chant the Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and spend all your life like this. You neither enjoyed your material life happily. And all these kind of doubts will come, especially in the young mind. It's normal, it's not unusual. It will come in the young mind. So in order to get out of that kinds of doubts from one's mind, knowledge is necessary. When there is no knowledge, what will happen is continuously doubting. As they call it, doubting Thomas, it will be all the time. Doubting, doubting, everything is doubting. So this doubting business has to go from the mind. Because if you start doubting, Vedic literature is not something to be doubted. Vedic literature's authority is so solid in all directions. You cannot imagine the personalities who have handed Vedic literature right up to the last appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, beginning from the great acharyas, great, great authorities. The literature they have compiled, the logics and reasoning they have provided in the commentaries on the Brahma Sutram, Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita and all that, if you read all that, you will be convinced that they were not personalities from ordinary world. They belong to a higher plane of thought and a higher plane of consciousness. So, but the literature they have created, Srila Prabhupada used to say that, if you are inclined in that direction, Prabhupada said, there is tons and tons of literature for you to study. But that is not the ultimate goal. You need to clarify your own mind to satisfy that Vedic literature convince you. Today you are saying, does God exist or not? Once you have gone through the process, you will say this, only God exists, nothing else exists. This conviction will come. So this change of heart is what happens from Shravanam. Shravanam is required for this, hearing continuously about the Absolute Truth. So, he is saying here, Jnanina Tattva Darshinaham. So if you continuously hear this, this conviction will come. Then Krishna exists, Krishna is the Absolute Truth, nothing else exists, everything else is temporary, that realization will come. Today we give importance to all the temporary things in this world, thinking that they are permanent, in that illusion we carry on. But moment you realize Krishna is the truth, that's the only truth, everything else is temporary, then you are properly situated. So once you come to that, in order to strengthen your mind, there is a process what is called as mananam. Mananam means what you have taken in from the teacher. You continuously chew that within your mind. You need time for all these things. You have to chew it very well inside and think about it and logics and reasoning what he has provided. And go back to him with questions, get the answers again. And this way a continuous back and forth goes on. This inquiry goes on between the student and the teacher. And that is called as mananam. When the mananam happens, the student becomes qualified. He is so convinced in his own mind that he is in a position to impart that knowledge to somebody else. That is the beauty of that mananam. Shravanam makes a person strong enough to understand and convince himself. Mananam makes it strong enough to convince somebody else or to deliver this knowledge to somebody else. And then there is another third thing, step, what is known as Nididhyasanam. In Nididhyasanam, what happens is, whatever knowledge that has come in, that has gone into yourself so deeply that you are always fixed up in your mind, completely on a spiritual platform. No more falling down from there to the material life again. To that extent, it can lift you by this process of tadvidya pranivadena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshandide jnanam jnanina tattva darshinaha. So this is that process. But because of this Kali Yuga, it is no point in saying all these things because we know it is not practical in the Kali Yuga to do all these things. Neither there are people who can teach these things, nor are there students who are qualified to learn these things. Both the teacher and the student are busy in earning money. So where is the time for them? And for them, knowing all these things very well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, study Srimad Bhagavatam. That is where Bhagavatam comes in. And this Bhagavatam, Krishna says, and Mahaprabhu also says, and all the other great Acharya says, is equal in all respects to develop you spiritually. He is capable of developing a person spiritually. Knowledge what's required is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The devotion what is required will develop from Srimad Bhagavatam. And the necessary detachment to the material world will come from Srimad Bhagavatam. So the process for the age of Kali is Srimad Bhagavatam. Studying Srimad Bhagavatam is the process by which one can make that progress. And when one advances in his study of Srimad Bhagavatam, and when one realizes, as much as one studies Srimad Bhagavatam and hear Srimad Bhagavatam, from that a certain development of consciousness comes. And when one intensely, because in spiritual life, often one gets disappointed. Sometimes he feels, I'm not making any progress. I've spent so many years and chanting the holy name and studying Srimad Bhagavatam. And still you are feeling that there is not much success happening in that life. And you are constantly praying to Krishna. At the same time, because when the heart gets purified by studying Srimad Bhagavatam, naturally the devotion will also grow, that you will start realizing how to approach Krishna. And when you start approaching Krishna in that way, Krishna at some time, when he shows that mercy to the devotee, he brings you to the right person to give you the instructions further on the spiritual path. That is the time when you meet that person. So that is how in the Kali Yugam things will happen. Because of the difficulties in the human society of what is the Kali Yugam has got, the best process in the Kali Yugam, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, two things: chant the holy name and study Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the engine, driving engine, for the driving force for the chanting process as well as for the developing devotion in the heart. The engine is Srimad Bhagavatam. And when you study Srimad Bhagavatam, that will inspire you to chant the holy name, and all the other associated activities will begin in Krishna consciousness. So Krishna consciousness process for the age of Kali is through Srimad Bhagavatam, and that is known as the Jnana Yajnam, or the process of developing, cultivating knowledge.
Tadvidipranivadena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshandide jnanam yanina tattvadarshinaha.
So it is 25 to 10, so I'll stop there. We have a few more verses, but I'll discuss that on the next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.